Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Karma You podcast. This is your host, Chloe Brotheridge. I'm a coach, a hypnotherapist, and I'm the author of The Anxiety Solution and Brave New Girl. And this podcast is all about helping you to become your calmest, happiest, and most confident self. Hello, hello, and welcome to today's episode. I hope you're doing well today. I had such a good conversation with Anna Martha, who is a mum of three, a psychotherapist. She's an author and a speaker. And her latest book is called The Little Book of Calm for New Mums. And I, as you probably know, I'm expecting a baby later on this year. And so this for me was, yeah, a chance to try not to turn it into my own therapy session, but a chance to ask some of those questions that I know, you know, if you are either a new mum already, or you want to be a parent in the future, or you're pregnant right now, we're talking about the sorts of things that may be coming up for you in terms of worries and anxieties and how to handle those things. So we discuss the anxieties that new mums experience, because there are many, and actually it's quite normal to experience worries and anxieties. We're going into something new, the sleep deprivation, the responsibility, you know, there's lots of things that can come up. We talk about, and Anna has so much amazing advice for handling a lack of sleep. For me, this is the thing that I'm not saying I'm dreading, but it's the thing that's in the back of my mind that could be tricky, the lack of sleep. I love sleep like most people. So Anna just shares so many nuggets of insights, personal experiences, and practical advice for how to handle this. We talk about letting go of the idea of the perfect mum, because it's so prevalent. And I think what I see, at least on social media, is this big dichotomy between, you know, perfect motherhood, how it's blissful and amazing and completes you, and then the other side of it, where people quite often, you know, find it very challenging, you know, at certain moments, and, you know, talk about how there's not enough talk about how difficult it can be. So we talk about that kind of dichotomy and how we can find our way through that. Plus just loads more advice from Anna. I think she's just an absolute delight, so warm and kind, and is exactly the sort of person that you would want, you know, to sit down with a cup of tea with to talk over some of these worries and concerns. So before we get into the episode, just to let you know that I am running my online anxiety course, Your Calmer Self, one more time before I go off on maternity. So it will be probably another at least 6 months until I run it live again. It's a tool incorporating coaching, hypnotherapy, group support from me, to give you the tools to manage your own anxiety, to understand yourself better, and to become a calmer version of yourself. It's run live, so the doors are closing on the 12th of June 2022 for this round. And you can find all the details in the show notes. You can head to my website, karma-you.com/program, for all the details and to register. So let's get into the interview with Anna Martha. Welcome, Anna. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you. I went on a really early morning walk this morning, and that just helps. It helps me so much. Kind of gives me something before I start. Do you know what I mean?
Lovely, yeah. Lovely. I always think to myself, like, my day would be better if I went for a morning walk. Maybe I need to make that happen more of the time. I love that.
I really recommend it. Although I have, I share quite a bit on social media, and I've had quite a few messages from people saying, but don't you worry about this? Don't you worry about being the first person to kind of stumble across something bad? Or don't you worry about, you know, And I thought, no, I haven't been. But then this morning I went on this walk, and it's amazing how almost like the more we're exposed to, the more potential fears we absorb from other people. I was like looking over my shoulder for the first time in ages, you know, and it's like, I'm like, I've got to kind of find balance with that. Cause I think having an awareness of things that can go wrong is good, but then kind of leaning into that too much so that it, yeah, it takes the joy out of what you're doing is, I mean, you talk about this loads, which is so helpful, but I noticed that this morning, my normal, wonderful, lovely therapeutic walk had a bit of a different edge to it.
Gosh, yeah. It's funny, I was reminded about, I used to work with a lot of people for fear of flying as a hypnotherapist. And I used to think, am I going to develop a fear of flying? Because I'm hearing about all these people's fears. And I didn't really, but it kind of, it does put ideas in your head, I suppose, when you're a therapist and you're kind of hearing people's
it
fears.
But
can you please just start off by telling us a bit about what you do and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, so I am a psychotherapist. I'm a mum of three. And historically, I've always kind of worked in really like clinical settings, so in GP surgeries and kind of private practices. And then I had my first baby, had a great experience, just really textbook. It's like he'd read the books that you want the babies to read before they come into the world. And he was, you know, he was kind of straight down the line. I enjoyed it. Did all the new mum things, had a great time, and then had a second one and had this like real confidence that I was just going to copy and paste my experience. I was like, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do all the things that worked the first time. And it was the most humbling, challenging experience of my life. Charlie had, my second had like silent reflux. It went undiagnosed and I was like chronically sleep deprived and just so staunch in my, I'm fine, don't worry about me. I've got this covered. And for the first time in my life, that just didn't cut the mustard. And it was the hardest, but the most amazing pivotal moment where I started to realize that all of these things that I've been kind of talking about and working on myself and working with clients, you know, these things really, really matter. The vulnerability, the tools, you know, we need them. And I needed them as if my life depended on them. Like before, these kind of therapeutic insights and this awareness was really helpful in my life, like really, really helpful. But I would say that they really began to change my life when I realized quite how powerful they could be. So then I downloaded Instagram because I was moving house and it was all kind of, it was new build and it was all white walls and pretty plain. So I downloaded it to kind of get some inspiration. And I remember starting to share little bits about kind of motherhood and anxiety and discovering that that it could be a place to share those things. And I mean, you do it so beautiful. I'm trying to think when I came across you on there sharing what you do. And I just, yeah, I think I just started to share a little bit more of that. And then realized that there is a term called psychoeducation. Did you know that? I had no idea that this was a thing, that it was, you know, for me, therapy was very much kind of in the therapy room with two chairs and a box of tissues. And I was so excited to find a name for what I'd begun to do, which is about kind of just taking therapy out of the therapy room and sharing those tools with people. And I do so often based on using myself as a kind of case study. So I'll share my experience and then I might share some insights or tools, because I think that's a real privilege being a therapist, is that you see, you know that you're not alone in stuff. So I can speak about the harder, messier moments, the complex feelings, and I can do that without shame because I know with certainty that I'm not alone. My hope is that other people will, then it will start to chip away at the shame for them. So it kind of really came from that and then moved onwards, really, just doing more and in different ways. And yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, it resonates with people so much, the things that you share, I think, so honestly about motherhood. And obviously, I'm kind of transitioning to that phase of my life and kind of reading your stuff, hoping to kind of inoculate myself against some of the things that may lie ahead. And yeah, you just had a new book out, which is just the most beautiful book. I'm showing it on the camera for those that are watching the video. The Little Book of Calm for New Mums. I am personally going to be having this. It's been living on my bedside table and it's going to stay there, I think, for the next like year.
That's what I dreamed of. Yeah, I dreamed that it would be a little bedside table. Bedside table book to dip into. So thank you.
Yeah, and there's just so much in there. You kind of go through all these different kind of challenges that people have in their journey, you know, early motherhood and beyond, I'm sure. What are some of the common things that come up for people as they've just had a baby and some of those anxieties and things that people worry about?
I think one of the most remarkable ones for me was the intrusive thoughts that can come up. You know, the thoughts that just kind of come and prompted into our minds. And I think ultimately they happen all the time. Like I was talking with my mum the other day and we were laughing about some of the intrusive thoughts that we've had, some of the funnier ones. Like one for me is, you know, at a wedding when they say, you know, does anyone here present know of any reason why these? And I always have this sudden thought of like, I'm going to jump up and be just for a joke. And I imagine the absolute chaos that would ensue. And, you know, I go into a gift shop and like everything is all stacked up nicely. And I just get this thought of like, push it over, just like push it over or pull someone's hair on a bus or that's kind of draped over the back of the seat. And we were giggling at these, but, you know, they're thoughts that come into our mind. And I think in early motherhood after Charlie, when I was so tired, I was getting so many more of them. And so many of them were just really shocking. And they were so conflicting with how and who I wanted to be as a mum. Because I think we, you know, we have this constant expectation that we'd be kind of always nurturing, always gentle, always kind of, you know, just motherly, you know, that kind of caricature that we have. And I think some of the thoughts that I had around dropping him down the stairs, that was a really strong one. And I know that that one is one for a lot of mums. And then, you know, it can just feel so, oh, how on earth could I think that? How on earth, you know, it's the shock that we can, and this judgment that we can have towards ourselves and the shame. And this is why I think things like intrusive thoughts are so unspoken about, is that often they are unpleasant and we fear that they say something about who we are and how we mother and how we love and how responsible we are. And I just found it really important to remind myself what they were. And it was my mind playing, you know, just it was my mind being aware of kind of risk and responsibility and power and also human reaction. And I think the other thing that, you know, so I think that's really important to understand that they do not say anything about who you are. They're just your mind kind of playing with risk and responsibility. And they're there also to keep you safe. So, you know, I might get one when my daughter's on a scooter and she's like tearing down the pavement and I might suddenly get this intrusive thought of like a car coming around the corner. And actually that's serving a purpose for me to go, hey, Florence, like just keep in a little bit. But actually if I'm then to kind of turn that black and white 2D thought into this full technicolor theater of what happens next. And, you know, and it fully plays out until I'm, you know, having to break the news to my husband. And it's just like suddenly my heart is breaking completely unnecessarily. And yes, I found that incredibly useful to remind myself that they are not reflective of who I am, how I love or how I mother, and that I can find ways to stop that. I call it thought into theatre, you know, that let that thought be, it's there, it's done. Maybe I've had to act on it by, you know, changing behaviour or just kind of shouting a word of warning, but actually it's that progression into that full story that can take us to those really hard, dark, sad places. So that's been important.
Yeah, I think that's so important to talk about and that people know that that's a normal thing that happens because, yeah, if there's shame about that or you think that it's a reflection on you or that you're bad because you're having those thoughts, then it's going to just magnify that experience. Yeah. And yeah, I've had intrusive thoughts, you know, in the course of anxiety and, oh, it's just horrible at the time. And
yeah.
Yeah, that is one of the things in my mind. I'm thinking, I wonder if that's going to pop up for me, you know, being sleep deprived and having this, you know, going into the unknown. You know, I know that I want to, again, like inoculate myself as much as possible to sort of just be aware that that might happen and try and be kind to myself about that.
Absolutely. And I think that's it. As soon as you might get an intrusive thought, and actually we get them all the time. Pretty much every kind of thought that we have is intrusive, right? It just, we don't have control over what comes into our mind, but I like thinking about it as like first thought, second thought. You know, I don't have control over what comes into my mind, but I can have control over what I do with that. Now, it's so much harder, isn't it? When we're tired or I notice it when I'm hormonal or when I'm stressed, you know, it's harder then to kind of you need energy really to rationalize these thoughts, or just to kind of take a moment to look at them and think about them for a second in a way that's constructive. And I think that's it. It's just the fact that when you're tired or you're full of hormones and you're going through change or stress, you know, just go gently on yourself, because it can be harder to kind of lure the energy to get that second thought in that kind of is comforting or grounding.
Yeah, I heard that a while ago, that idea that kind of the first thought is your kind of maybe the anxiety, or it's your judgment. Mm. But actually the second thought is the real you, your ability to kind of be able to step back from things and connect with what you really think and feel. So I love the idea of, thinking about
good,
the second thought.
Mm. Yeah, and it takes that shame and that sense of responsibility away from something that you literally cannot control. I think I've got a book called Mind Over Mother, and it's just about kind of worry and anxiety in the postnatal period. And I write about this mop man in there. I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about the mop man, but I remember having some intrusive thoughts, and I started thinking, because my mind just loves kind of, I love a metaphor. And I started thinking, imagine that you were just sat on your sofa one evening, like Friday evening, the kids are in bed, the baby's quiet, and then someone knocks on the door, and you go to the door and it's a mop salesman. And he's there, you know, saying, you know, I want to introduce you to the new Super Splash G15. You're like, oh gosh, all right, come on in then. Because you don't want to say no, you just don't feel, you feel you don't want to be rude. And in he comes, and you know, within minutes he's like, he's got his own plate of chips, he's chatting away, and you're there thinking, oh my goodness, my evening that I've been really leaning towards has been completely taken over. And then I thought about an alternative scenario where, you know, he comes to the door and you just say, you know what, thank you so much, but we're not looking for a mop, have a nice evening. And I think, you know, it's that reminder that we cannot control what knocks on the door of our mind, but we can in time build up the kind of the confidence and maybe a bit of that strength to say, no, I don't want to go into that right now. Thank you.
So good. So good. I'm going to remember that one.
The mop man. You don't want a super splash. Oh yeah. It's helpful, I think, is for me anyway.
Yeah. One of the things that I've just really noticed, I guess, thinking about the kind of the bigger picture of kind of motherhood, and kind of what I've noticed a lot on Instagram is the two sides of it. It's like one side that's like perfect motherhood, it's amazing, like my child completes me, I feel so whole. And then the other side of like, oh my god, it's so hard, like I never expected it to be so hard. And I guess it's kind of both. I mean, it's not perfect obviously, but it is wonderful and, you know, incredibly challenging at the same time. Do you think sometimes we can maybe go into it kind of expecting it to be really amazing, and everyone tells you you're going to love it. You know, parents and grandparents have been nagging you to have children for years, in my case anyway. And then maybe it's a shock when it's not like that. Can you talk a little bit to the kind of that?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but
I guess phenomena. It's like the fantasy, isn't it? It's that fantasy. And I think we're so hardwired to believe what we see. When we see it seemingly played out on social media, where that fantasy seems to be a reality, we just, you know, we often either think then that we're not doing a good enough job, or we need to try harder, or, you know, that we think that must be true. That's just where our brain goes to. So we have to really take a moment to be like, that is a moment. You know, we know that is a moment. That is a, you know, a snapshot. And again, that little tiny process requires energy that so often we don't have when we're escaping to social media for an escape. You know, I think I saw you say something today that, you know, scrolling is not restful. You know, often we go to these things to escape, when actually because we're feeling depleted in some way or challenged in some way. And actually, you know, we need energy to be there for it to be a healthy place. And it's that first thought, second thought thing again, isn't it? Is you see that wonderful snapshot and you think, oh man, I'm not doing enough with my kids today. But the second thought, you know, when we got the energy to introduce that second thought, that is the more grounding one that says, oh, well, they, you know, I don't know what their behind the scenes is today. I don't know what their challenges are. And then I think also the same when we see there's so much freedom in a way in seeing all that kind of that authentic, messy behind the scenes, but neither of those are true all the time. And actually, I find that they can both coexist almost minute to minute. I had a moment the other day and my kids were sat there eating ice lollies on a bench, and I looked at them and my heart was just like, I was just overflowing with joy. I was just like, I'm the luckiest person in the whole entire universe. And I was, you know, I can feel it now just even thinking about that moment. And then honestly, no word of a lie, less than 5 minutes later, two of my kids were screaming and crying, and I literally did not know how physically I could make it back to the car, because every time I picked my toddler up, she kicked her wellies off. And then, you know, I was carrying the shopping, my other son was like screaming about something else. And then, you know, I went from thinking, oh my gosh, this is the best thing in the world, to, oh my goodness, this is the hardest thing in the world. And I think it's just accepting that those can coexist, and one doesn't make you a failure. One doesn't make you a better mom. It's just, this is, you know, we see this in life. We know this about life, right? One minute you think everything's okay, and the next minute you're hit by a curveball and you feel like all your hope, you know, the air's been knocked out of you. And we can have those moments in a single day, but it somehow feels polarized in motherhood. And where, you know, someone used the term the pin-up mother the other day, you know, thinking about what is the pin-up version of yourself that you're holding in mind. And, you know, mine might be, I was going to be a stay-at-home mom and I was going to be really happy with that. And I was going to cook everything from scratch, and I was going to be the most patient person. Actually, it's not worked out like that. I wasn't happy being a full-time stay-at-home mom. I love my work. I'm actually, you know, I don't want to spend all my time in the kitchen. I love a microwave meal. It's actually, I've had to come to terms with the fact that my version of motherhood that existed in my mind of myself is not who I am. And the more that I've grown to accept that, the happier I've become. And, you know, my mom was saying the other day, she's been over for the weekend. That's why I'm referring to her, because we love these kinds of conversations. And she was, you know, she was reminding me that good things, often the good things are the hard things. Like the best things are the hard things too. You know, when someone runs a marathon, they do all of, I've never done it. They do all of this training. You know, their social lives change, what they eat changes. And, you know, they do all of this, and you know, and then they might say, oh my gosh, that was such a hard run. And do we turn around to them and say, why are you bothering then? If you don't like that run, why are you bothering? If you don't want to go out, you know, if you're too tired to get out that time, why are you even bothering? You know, but yet with motherhood, it's almost, there's so much fear around saying this is hard, because we feel like we have to caveat it with, you know, whole tumbling words of, but I love it, but I love them, but, you know, as if it can't be hard and good. Because the best things are hard too, because they come with sacrifice, they come with challenge, and we persevere, and then the joy is even sweeter and the good times are even, I call them motherhood caffeine, those moments where you just think, oh, this is the good stuff. This makes it all worth it. So I think it's both.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me, because I think for quite a long time I was going back and forward on whether I wanted to have children because of this thing of, it's going to be so hard, how will I cope? You know, I think when you've had mental health issues, I thought to myself, I don't want to pass these on, you know, what if I, you know, can't cope with having a baby? But it's an interesting thing, I think, with anxiety, sometimes we try to make ourselves safe and kind of hold ourselves back from things to avoid things being hard and avoid things that we can't cope with. And actually you end up, your world becomes so small that it becomes like quite unfulfilling. And actually the best thing that we can do is to kind of step outside of our comfort zone and challenge ourselves, doing that in a gentle way with lots of kind of other things to support us hopefully along the way as well. But, you know, not shying away from the challenging things, because actually, yeah, exactly as you say, you know, I remember thinking, you know, if being a parent is the hardest and best job, or one of the hardest and best jobs that you can have, am I really going to say, no, I don't want to do that in this lifetime? And I decided that actually, yeah, I did want to go for that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm just thinking about, we're going on holiday in August, and even the thought of packing for a family of five and all that entails, and sorting the house out, making sure that someone's been the cat, and, you know, lining up my work so that I can have a little bit of a break, you know, the enormity of that sometimes feels like, what's the point? What's the point? But actually I know that it will be so worth it. Like, yeah, it's not going to be perfect. There will still be tantrums and, people waking us up in the night. But ultimately, it's an experience, and it's going to be a generally a wonderful change of scenery that we haven't had in the last like 2.5 years. So, you know, again, it's like sometimes the good things require a lot from us as well, like training, you know, all that training that you've done, all those, you know, courses that you've got under your belt, like that would have taken sacrifice, and but it's given you so much to give to others and so much joy in doing so. And that, you know, it cost time, finances, sacrifices, yet it's wonderful.
I wonder if maybe there's a sense of like, because our lives are often designed around things being convenient and kind of easy and pain-free, you know, if there's a sense of things shouldn't be difficult, you know, I should be finding this easy. And then we beat ourselves up if we are struggling.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, everything happens quickly. We don't have to wait for stuff. You know, we can order something now and it might even be there the same day. And life is made very smooth for us in many ways. But, you know, the best things, like if you think you could order a chair tomorrow on IKEA website and have it tomorrow, you know, but actually you could order this handmade bespoke chair that will be in your family for years to come and maybe pass down, and you know, but that takes time and more money, and you've got to wait for it, and it takes, you know, there are more decisions to be made, but you will savor it and enjoy it more at the end of it. And I think, you know, our culture and our economy wants us to go for the quick stuff because the quality is low, probably break, we'll help probably have to spend more money, and it's just so alluring, isn't it? Like, why wait when you can have it now? Why pay more when you can just get less for less now? And what about the investment and the richness of what comes with that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we could talk about hours on that topic in itself. Yeah. It's such a deep one. This episode of the Karma You podcast is sponsored by my online course, Your Calmest Self. It's a course that gives you the tools to manage your anxiety without having to quit your life, move to an island, and meditate for 10 hours a day. So this course is for you if you're somebody that constantly worries about what other people think of you. You hold yourself back from setting big goals because you're anxious and overwhelmed and unable to move forward with things. It's for you if you flop into bed every night exhausted by another anxious day, wishing you could just switch off and relax. It's for you if you don't speak up about things because you're nervous about getting it wrong or what people will say, whether they'll judge you. And it's for you if you've got a loud inner critic that puts you down all the time and stops you from doing the things that you want to do in your life. If this sounds like you, I'm here to help you change that. In this online course for anxiety, Your Calmer Self, I teach you the tools and techniques to become a calmer and more confident version of yourself. I use powerful hypnotherapy recordings and exercises from cognitive behavioral therapy, NLP, positive psychology, and more. If you'd like to live an anxiety-free life of confidence and calmness, come and take a look at my course at karma-you.com/program. So it's karma-you.com/program. One of the things, again, I'm coming back to the kind of the turning this into my own like therapy session with you. So one of the things that I wouldn't say I'm nervous about it, but it's kind of, I'm aware this is something I need to be aware of. The sleep issue, the sleep deprivation. Yeah, waking up a lot in the night. And I just know, obviously, being tired is stressful in itself. It puts us into fight or flight more, doesn't it? And, you know, probably anyone who's ever experienced anxiety will know anxiety is worse when you're tired. And yeah, if you're having problems with your sleep, then everything just seems so much harder. What would you say to someone who's maybe experiencing that right now, or somebody that, you know, is thinking that might come up for them?
Yeah, because I think, you know, it's so easy to say, isn't it, when you're outside of that situation, just kind of get what rest you can. And actually, there are so many different things that come into it. Number one, there are so many things to actually do and tick off when your baby's asleep or your kids are quiet. You know, you might have genuine life admin. Yesterday I had to book like vaccinations and call the vet and do all of these things. And there's always a list, and sometimes those things are priorities. And also, you know, when we have a difficult relationship with rest and maybe we feel like it's inefficient or unproductive and we don't value it as something that we fundamentally need, then we're going to pass over little opportunities to do it. And also when we want, like if you're craving a really good night's sleep and you know you can't get it, then the other things, the other little opportunities for rest can just seem insignificant. Like what's the point in just sitting on the sofa for 5 minutes when I want like a solid 8 hours sleep? So we can kind of overlook those little opportunities. So I think number one, it's addressing your attitude to rest. So when those opportunities arise, you're taking all of them with like, you know, open hands. And it's that acknowledgement that we need rest in order to rationalize anxious thoughts, in order to enjoy life. Because actually there are so many times when I have got no sense of humor because I'm tired. I've got no sense of humor. You know, I need rest in order to respond to my kids in a way that I'm proud of, rather than reacting, shouting, you know, being irritable. I need rest in order to have relationships that are meaningful. Now that everything I've said there is probably just going to add a whole another load of pressure onto the sleep that you can't get. But I actually did a podcast on this, on 5 ways to rest when you can't. And it's taking the pressure off that night's sleep because it's disrupted. And the more we pressure something to be good, this happens with sleep, isn't it? The more we want it and the more we try and make it happen, the more it escapes us. And something I find really helpful, and we chatted about this before we click record, was to remember that all rest is productive. So even if you're lying there, or you're sitting there, you know, with a baby that's awake, or you're just lying there because your brain is switched on, your baby's asleep and you can't get back to sleep, you know, instead of just pressuring yourself, and this is what I would often do, is like, oh my gosh, I've now only got like 4 hours left of the night, and, you know, heaping the pressure on. It's just, you know, that simple reminder that all rest is productive. As you lie there, you know, you're being supported in your comfortable bed. There is, you know, it's quiet, you've got some sensory deprivation, you're not being bombarded with kind of all this visual stimulation that we have when we're awake. And that is good. That is productive in itself. So I think taking the pressure off when you're trying to be asleep, but also finding rest in other ways, literally move slower, move and talk slower. Like, just how can you slow down what your output is in your body? And this sounds so simple, but I often do this in like stressful moments with the kids or chaotic times, you know, because I think when our fight or flight is kicking in, we can start being a bit more frantic, but then we're expending so much more. So how can you mindfully kind of even just slow down your pace of walking, you know, just slow down your movements. So you're preserving something. You're just saying to your body, it's okay. You don't need to rush. Because often we rush, we don't even need to be rushing because we're just in that mentality of like, oh, I need to get everything done. So how can you physically slow down? And another one is multitasking. You know, I think we do it because it feels so efficient, but actually there is, and I love Johan Hari's Stolen Focus book. I don't know if you've read it, but he talks about the cost of multitasking. And he says, we can't actually multitask. Our brain just flicks between two things really, really quickly. And it is using an enormous amount of energy. So I'm the absolute queen of trying to do so many things at once that I end up doing them badly. I often even brush my teeth around the house whilst I'm doing other stuff. And I just get, you know, toothpaste all down my jumper, create more washing for myself, got some on the floor, create more cleaning for myself. And ultimately, you know, if I was just to stand at the sink for 2 minutes and just do that, you're asking less of yourself. You know, it's how can you actually just focus on what you're doing in that moment rather than trying to send a quick email whilst also changing the baby's nappy? You know, how can you stop multitasking sometimes so that you're saving a heck of a lot of energy? It's not as productive as we like to think. Another thing that I find really helpful with exhaustion and early motherhood is turning I've got to into I get to. Now, this has been a real game changer for me. And I think when we're exhausted, we can get that really heavy feeling. I know I can. And gratitude for me is just kind of like lighting, like turning on a light bulb in the corner of a dark room. And it's just, you know, I've got to be up in the night with my baby turns into like, I get to be up in the night with my baby. And it just turns our attention to the enormous privileges of what feels to be so mundane and heavy at times. And it's not about overriding those really human responses to what's going on, the exhaustion. It's not saying, you know, I think often we can use gratitude to kind of steamroll feelings, but actually, you know, it's I am exhausted and oh my gosh, what a privilege. Like it's that and, you know, it's the two things that can be there together. And I find that really helpful in the monotonous things in motherhood is thinking I get to do this. Doesn't work for everything. I get to take the bins out. Mm-hmm. We're here. You know, it's actually, although does it? Because, you know, there are so many, and I think we can dig into it a little bit and think, you know, I get to wash these bottles. Oh, that doesn't really work. But actually, when you think about it, you've got running water, you've built, you know, you're privileged to even have access, you know, we have access to formula, or we have access to running water. And actually there is always something, you know, so I find that really helpful as well. And accepting support, you know, and this is another thing that I think is a really big barrier to rest. And when I say rest, I'm talking about restful things, not just sleep. Is that people offer to support us, and often our kind of first thought, our first reaction is, I know, don't worry, I'm fine. But what would it be like to actually accept those small offers of support? You know, how can we challenge ourselves to say yes, please, and then feel the guilt and do it anyway, knowing that in letting someone else do something, we're preserving something of ourselves. So sometimes it's not what can we get for ourselves, it's what can we preserve? You know, what can I preserve of my energy? Cutting corners, I think, is one of the most underestimated forms of self-care and rest. How can you do that easier? How can you take that effort out of dinner tonight when you're tired? What can you do that cuts a corner here? And again, this is a challenge of, you know, especially when many of us struggle with like perfectionism and people pleasing, this can be a challenging thing, but actually it's another way of preserving and reserving something of yourself that you need. And I'm going to put so many of these because I think
so good. I think come back and make notes on all of this.
I think it's, you know, it's, and then the other thing that I think if you do struggle with perfectionism or people pleasing, it's just reminding yourself it's not forever, it's just for now. You know, I'm cutting corners and I'm finding that flipping hard, or I'm accepting that support and I'm finding it flipping uncomfortable. It's how can you remind yourself that actually this is just for a time. It's not forever. You're not dropping that standard forever. You're not going to cut that corner and be eating kind of, you know, there are some wonderful microwave meals out there that we love that are really healthy and like nutritious. But, you know, do I want to eat them forever? No. But actually, sometimes these things are there for such a time as this. And you know, and I think that's helpful to remind yourself. It's not forever. It's just for now. It doesn't need to be forever. Things will change and shift and be different. But actually for now, it's important that I do these things so that I can preserve something of myself.
I think that's such an important one, because I know that my mind has a tendency to, and I think this is a thing that anxious minds can do, to kind of permanent, I don't know what the word is, like make something permanent, like I'm feeling anxious right now, I'm always going to feel this way. Yeah. I'm feeling low, I'm always going to feel this way, the house is a mess, it's always going to be a mess. But actually I love that reminder of just thinking this is a temporary time. Yeah. In my life, it's not going to last forever and probably going to go quite quickly in the big scheme of things.
It does and it shifts and it changes, and you have new energy for things that you had no energy for before, and then in other ways you're depleted that you weren't before. And it's just, I think it's that margin for humanness, and it's that acceptance that we are limited. We have limited resources and those change every day. And the kind thing is to find ways to live in line with that rather than just seeing that as a failure or you're not trying hard enough, or that actually is just human. Some of the reasons you're tired will be totally and utterly out of your control. So what can you do that is within it? What standard can you amend? What corner can you cut?
And that thing about taking the bins out, I'm going to try and shift my mindset on taking the bins out, because it always seems to be me. I don't know why Aidan's doesn't go onto his radar that the bins need taking out. But thinking about, I get to do this, because it did remind me of, like, I spent some time like living in the middle of the jungle like a couple of years ago in the Amazon, and there were no toilets, no loo roll, no taps to get water out of. You know, we were kind of like purifying our own water. And coming back from that, I was so grateful for like flushing loos, the fact that you can wash your hands and just that sort of thing. So I know it's possible to get ourselves into a mindset of appreciating those little things if we can kind of shift our mindset. So like taking the bins out, how amazing that someone like takes the rubbish away. Yeah. And, like, hopefully recycles it some of the time.
Yeah. Isn't it? But it is that, you know, it's that conscious kind of connection with that awareness. It doesn't always come on its own, but I think that the more we practice it, the more that you will just be prompted. Like when I'm going on my walks these days, you know, I just feel like a real sense of gratitude suddenly. And I look at something and I think, oh, wow. And before that would have had to be a lot more conscious.
Yeah. So we kind of, have to consciously become aware of it at first, then perhaps it becomes more automatic.
It's like a habit though, isn't it? Like it's a habit to form those moments. And another one that I'm working on at the moment is boredom and just seeing the beauty within it. Because you know, those times of curveballs in life when they hit and everything just feels like in a state of flux. And, you know, the things that you want, the things that you crave are the boring, normal bits of life. I was looking at the kitchen the other day and everything was an absolute tip. It was utter chaos. And I thought there have been times in my life where I would have done anything to have moments like this, to be assured of moments like this, to have the confidence that I would have moments like this again. And we lost my sister when she was nearly 7 when I was younger. And I just remember the things that we wanted were the boring things. You know, the mountaintop, wonderful moments of life are all great, but there is so much privilege and beauty in those boring Monday moments. Those are the ones that, you know, if we allow ourselves to absorb something wonderful within them, even if, you know, we're also valuing and validating the boredom, the relentlessness, the overwhelm and all those other feelings within it. But it's just that acknowledgement, I think, of how meaningful they are.
Yeah, I love that. That's really, really powerful. One question I like to ask guests is there anything that you're struggling with at the moment, and how are you kind of moving through that or managing it or kind of, working through that yourself?
So over here at this moment, it's half term. And one, I love my job. I love it. But I see it as a great, it's so different to parenting. It's such a, you know, a different space for me, especially when I'm doing writing or I'm doing podcasts and stuff. I absolutely love it. So I think my challenge is that I often see it as my break. This is my rest. This is my break. And I think I just feel really prompted at the moment to remind myself that work is still using different parts of yourself. And yes, it might feel like I'm filling a different cup, and it has a real great place in bringing balance into my life. But I'm still using different parts of myself quite a lot. So therefore I need to make sure I'm still doing things that are not work, that are restful. So that's why I'm trying to be really vigilant in kind of going out for walks and doing a bit more kind of, you know, slower paced exercise rather than just kind of short and sharp, tick that box. You know, what can I do that feels more mindful? What movement? It feels more intuitive and meeting a need and actually just switching off and not seeing scrolling on your phone as restful or just zoning out to a box set as restful. Like what actually, all of those things are, they are restful, but are they as nourishing and refilling as, you know, having a bath and reading a book without going on my phone, or, you know, going on a walk without kind of listening to a million podcasts at 1.5 speeds, trying to like absorb as much information as possible. Like, how can I just bring more restful things into my life that aren't work?
I think that's such an important point. I was talking to a client recently about, you know, just having time to do nothing. We have the sense that it's not okay to do nothing. Like, you know, talking about like, can you just sit and have a cup of tea and like stare out the window, or, you know, just have some time where you're not kind of listening to a podcast or reading, you know, emails with one hand and kind of looking at your children with the other. with the other eye or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually giving ourselves permission to not have to be productive or to rest in the most, I think someone commented in something and called it like constructive rest, something that's really constructive, as in, you know, what's the most kind of nurturing and nourishing thing that we can do for ourselves, rather than maybe watching like Stranger Things, which I don't watch, but my sister's obsessed with it and said it like basically gives her anxiety, but she's hooked and can't stop.
Watching something like that at the moment. And I think that's so right. Our brains need to pause. We need to slow down. We need, you know, we're I think sometimes I explain it as like, especially on my work days, I feel like I'm living like I'm being chased. You know, I'm rushing from one thing to another. And what is this doing to our nervous systems and our, what is it teaching us? And I think often we can even fear slowing down. And I know this for so many people and at times myself, in that if I slow down, A, will I ever find it in me to start again? And B, what the heck will come to the surface? Because in this busyness, we're just plowing on and plowing through, and there's so much that goes unheard and unvalidated and so many needs that go unmet that there's almost a fear that if we do slow down and stop and pause, of what we'll find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one. I remember when the pandemic first hit and, you know, some people slowed down. Obviously, some people's lives got much more hectic in lockdown. Mm-hmm. But the people whose lives slowed down, you know, noticed a lot of stuff coming up to the surface. And it's kind of a scary thing because we're busy and we keep everything contained.
Yeah.
And then, you know, is it going to, yeah, but then maybe it needs to come out. You know, what's the cost of that suppressing stuff and kind of keeping a lid on it? But that's a whole nother podcast.
Is
there anything final that you'd want to share with new mums? Any final kind of bit of advice that you'd want to share before I let you get on with the rest of your day?
Yeah, I think two tiny quick things. Number one is when you're, you know, self-care, I think we can so easily eye roll at it, but actually it's so important. The more you give, the more you're giving out, the more you need. You know, it's a simple science, like the further you drive your car, the more fuel you need. But so often we just kind of completely overlook that when it comes to ourselves. And, you know, raise the bar for what you consider self-care, because I asked people on my social media what they were doing with regards to self-care, and they're like, oh, you know, today I had a shower, today I had a glass of water. And I'm like, wow, those things are great, but those are basic fundamental acts of self-respect. You know, we need more than that. And those things are great when we can get them, but actually they need to be the fundamental. You know, the self-care is the bit that goes beyond. It's the thing that fills you up and nourishes you, that is not the basic. You know, even prisoners get hydration and food and a shower every now and again. You know, how are we, what message are we giving to ourselves in the way that we're treating ourselves, and would we treat someone we love in that way? And if not, then quite frankly, we have equal value, so it's not good enough for us either. And I find that really, really helpful. And then the other thing is never let guilt go unaddressed. Guilt is there to prompt you to act. It might even just be that guilt is unjustified and you're feeling guilty about something that isn't your fault. You know, that action might be just to choose to let that go. But the more we let guilt just sit there, the more it's going to shame us, you know, and then we start feeling like it's the difference between being a good person that's done a bad thing and feeling like a bad person. And that's what happens when guilt shames us. It just really hacks away at our self-esteem and our identity and our feeling of deservedness to be loved and have good things. And when I let shame in, I feel like I have flashes of feeling undeserving of the love of my children and undeserving of accepting support. And that's a problem. And so don't let guilt just sit there. Think, what's it prompting me to do? It might be prompting you to seek support, to apologize, to kind of amend a habit, then act on it and then let it go. Otherwise it turns in shame, and we don't need that. We don't need it. We deserve more than that. So yeah, it can be the background buzz to motherhood, but it doesn't need to be.
Mm, yeah. So good. Thank you so much for everything you shared. I could honestly talk to you for hours and hours, and yeah, I feel very calm talking to you, and very I feel like it's all going to be okay, and I've got my book here,
I'll
be reading in your voice, I think, now.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And yeah, do you want to just share a bit about how people can find out more about you, get your book, and anything else that you're doing at the moment?
So I'm on Instagram at Anna Martha, AnnaMathur. I've got a platform called The Mothermind Way, which has got loads of different £12 resources. Everything's £12. Anything on like 1 hour long sessions on health anxiety, driving anxiety, and metaphobia, which is a really common fear of sickness. Things on people pleasing, burnout, guilt, there's loads of stuff on there. And then I've got a podcast called The Therapy Edit, which are like 10 to 20 minute little episodes twice a week. And then books. So my new one is called The Little Book of Calm for New Mums. And that's kind of just a kind of, it's got loads of emotions in there and you just flick to the page that resonates with how you're feeling. And there are some grounding words and some thoughts that can bring clarity and encouragement within it. And then I've got one on self-worth called Know Your Worth. And then I have got the My Dave Mother, which is about wearing anxiety in the first year. So that's, I think that's about it, I think.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you so much. It's been so, so useful.
Thank you for having me.
You have been listening to the Karma You podcast with me, Chloe Bretheridge. Don't forget, you can download loads of freebies for anxiety and confidence at my website, karmayou.com. You can also find out about my app and my one-on-one sessions. Please do subscribe to this podcast in the Apple Podcast app. And if you have enjoyed it or found it helpful, please leave me a review. It makes a massive difference to helping the podcast get discovered by other people. And come on over and find me on Instagram. I'm hanging out there every day. You can find me at Chloe Bretheridge. Let me know what you thought of this episode. And please do share it with anyone who might need to hear this today. So I'm sending you loads of love and I hope you have a brilliant week ahead.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.